This, as you probably have guessed by this time, this, the case of the and the letters from a father, the beginning of a little thematic group about time and what it takes away and or what it can take away as well as what it can bring. But I noticed after I'd written a few books of poetry that I was writing about this theme a great deal. And as I wrote, I discovered in my poetry the very simple idea that against what time takes away, there are two great forces which are embattled against this loss. And those are love and art, which are the holders and keepers, which hang on and keep things still against the time's pull of taking it away. And I wrote a lot of poems about this, but I'm just going to read one. It occurred to me just as an idea for a poem, because otherwise, who cares? They're both very great powers. As an idea for a poem, I thought I might write about which is the greater power against time, love or art? And one would think, just from the heart, that love was, naturally. But love has to cope with mortality, and after all the people in the world who've ever loved you are gone, love can not do very much for you. On the other hand, if art is great enough, it can hold things century after century after century. Yet, that isn't so simple either, because if it weren't for the mixture of love and the aesthetic experience with which we look at great art, art wouldn't have much holding power either, because nobody would look at it, and it would be helpless too. So it seemed to me a kind of complex question. So I wrote this poem, and I used the figure of Midas, King Midas, as the artist, the holder and keeper figure. You all know this. I'll just remind you that Midas did a favor for Dionysus, and in return he got his wish, and his wish was that everything he touched would turn to gold. And in some of the myths, the first problem Midas had was that he couldn't eat. And in the poem I just left out, so he had to go to Dionysus and say, please take my gift away and let me live. I have to eat. But I ignored this problem in my poem. He just goes on eating year after year somehow. I don't know how. I gave him a wife. And I made her a gardener who deals with growing, changing things. Midas and wife. He loved the way her fingers loved the ground, a peasant touch that patted things green and would tempt to petition for the rain that made their garden move and reach freely for bugs that burrowed or birds that flew away. She loved his gift for making that fairness stay. But lest she stay, he couldn't touch the queen, in whose cold image creation would be undone. He feared his fingers and their golden gain, but followed her from room to touch what she touched. She arranged a trembling bloom. He touched, the flower fell into its form. The dog quivered and smiled at her attention, but felt his brilliant answer and soon froze forever in a witty grin. The years went by, and all she carried inside to feel his sovereignty acquiesced and died into perfection and into the eternal married, except herself. The heart of Midas grew cold from his abstention, the queen grew old, and the whole palace filled with scions of gold. She spoke then, "Look at my face, Midas. My shame shouts to you there of my long affair with time, while I yearn for the king whose art would keep me home. I reach for you through the world, and you never come. You reach for what I touch, not what I am, and down between us falls your golden theme. Besides, I have grown so fond of the rich and still, though all outdoors rage with the green and fruitful, I cannot bear my own composure until you hold me. Changing under your touch, I'll prove whatever holds perfectly is stronger than love, but subject still to love's artless imperative. Never on earth, my dear, can you and I discover a golden mediocrity. The sovereign gift must find a way to comply." When Midas moved in loneliness and pain to touch her hand turned numb, her heart turned quietly into a paradigm, and she took her final form in idolatry. Blinding and blind to him, her sun-like eye, but her brazen lips could move him anyway, and Dionysus, smiling, set him free.